Hey, everybody, this is Caddy. You're in the Year End Cafe with me and one Mr. John Taylor. Welcome to the cafe, JT.
Hi there.
Thank you for being here with us. To say that this was an exciting year for Duran Duran would be a bit of an understatement, I believe. So
yeah, it was
a really great year. So with that in mind, I'm actually not kicking off with a Duran Duran question, but we have lots to talk about. What would you say your event of the year, not Duran Duran related, was for 2022?
Oh, God, that's a big way to start. That's
it
a big
is.
Way to start, like a Caddy's Cafe, isn't it?
I go right at it.
Jeepers, jeepers. I mean, I've spent a lot of time in the US this year. And the politics in the US is really like, it's like walking a tightrope, isn't it? I mean, you know, it was like the worst was the, you know, the abortion rights, you know, that all changing, and just watching, seemingly watch that society like just go down the toilet. But then I think that the midterms were just like such a relief.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, even just like, you know, 2 days ago, you know, the Georgia runoffs, you know, what did, you know, another victory for sanity. I think it was, I read in the paper yesterday, you know, the sort of like the slow but inexorable demise of Donald Trump, I would say, is probably the event of the year.
I like that.
Not that you can write him off. Not that we can write him off completely, but we can pray.
I think I've started to write him off pretty much. That doesn't, I'm part of, like, not surprising, a political group in my town, and they're talking about Trump, and I opine that I think that Ron DeSantis is going to be pretty hard to beat. So we'll have a whole new worry. Yeah. In my mind, but I don't want to offend anybody listening to the cafe, and I'm open-minded to see what someone brings to the table as long as it's not Donald Trump.
Right on. I agree.
Right on, baby. So the best movie and or TV show or series you watched this year, it doesn't have to be from this year, but what's stuck in your mind?
Well, I went back to the cinema this year, and I went back to see Cate Blanchett and Tar. And where she plays a classical music conductor, and it's quite a long film. It's deep. I think had I not been sitting in a movie cinema, I might not have even made it for the first half of the film. But you know, I was there. I'd gone by myself because
Oh, wow.
I don't know anybody else who wanted to see it.
Brian,
but it really stuck with me. It really stuck with me, and it had some deep thoughts about music and society, I can't say I really enjoyed it, but I found it provocative and interesting. I mean, TV is just, I mean, whereas I've been to the cinema once this year, I've probably spent, I mean, I cannot even begin to count the hours that I've spent watching TV shows this year, you know. And I just think, and we've said this before, I just think we're in a golden age of episodic TV. And I sometimes think if I was a teenager today, you know, I might have gotten into like episodic TV as opposed to music, because it really does feel to me like it is, you know, the most creative. And I mean, just recently, I mean, The English with Emily Blunt is just off the charts amazing.
Wow.
And White Lotus, The White Lotus is amazing on HBO. I mean, those are two that come to mind. White Lotus is still on season two. But yeah, I mean, I think The English is probably my favorite of the year.
Someone told me, recommended White Lotus to me and said I didn't have to see the first season to see the second. Do you agree?
Yeah, but I would watch the first season first.
You would? Okay. Yeah. All right. And the English. All right. These are all good things for me to know. Because I think I finished like Karate Kid in September. Oh. And haven't
Is
really
that a
watched
TV show?
Yeah. I watch it with my kids. Well, Cobra Kai.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. But I like it. I enjoy it. What was the best book and or podcast that you've listened to and read in 2022?
I think when we were touring Europe this summer, I was listening to and reading a biography of Mozart by Jan Swafford. I had a title like love in it, but that's immaterial. And I would, you know, I would practice, you know, listening to an audiobook. That's something that I tend to do. And it just took me, I found it just fantastic. It was really sort of easygoing. It wasn't overly academic. It was just an incredible, I just found myself just really loving him. And, you know, what an extraordinary, crazy life he had. And, you know, it really got me listening to a lot of his music. I know that I've really had to break down walls, you know, of my own perception to really get at a lot of classical music. I mean, I know we talked about that before. You know, I listen to a lot of classical music, and I've sort of been able to. The key for me was to be able to listen to it like it was modern music, so that it doesn't feel like stuffy or uncool. You know, I have to be able to listen to it and listen to it as like, wow, shit, this was like the Yeezus of 1734, you know, whenever it was, and sort of try to hear it from the perspective of somebody hearing it for the first time and how, you know, radical it was. And I was really sad to get to the end of that book. I also listened to Chris Blackwell's autobiography, read by Bill Nighy, who I'm a fan of. And Chris is like, you know, I mean, he really tells the story of the rock album era. You know, he comes to London in the early 60s, and, you know, he's sort of had experience like servicing jukeboxes all over Jamaica. Mm. And that's given him a sort of a sense of what people like, you know, what makes a hit. And, you know, and he comes over to England, and his first single, he starts a label and he puts out this song, My Boy Lollipop, by Little Millie. And, you know, and it's a hit all around the world. And you know, Island Records is established. And he talks about in the first, in the foreword, he says, you know, he's trying to convince the rest of his staff why they should sign Spandau Ballet, and nobody seems terribly interested. They're more interested in this band from Dublin with a singer called Bono, but he doesn't really understand. They don't sign Spandau Ballet, but they do sign U2. And it's just a great journey through 70s rock. I mean, I loved Island Records, and Island Records was the first label that Nick and I went to with our demo tapes. You know, they were the label that everybody wanted to be on. So that was good. I really enjoyed that. I mean, I haven't read a ton of books this year, to be honest. But those are two audios that I listen to that I really enjoy.
Do you prefer audio to do you do other things while you're listening, or do you sit down?
Yeah,
to listen?
Like I was saying, I Well, I've done a lot of practicing this year. I don't particularly enjoy practicing. That discipline doesn't come easy to me. So I found that if I listen, if I've got an audio book going on, then I can just have my head in that, whereas my fingers can just be mindlessly playing, scales or runs or, just that physical thing that you just need to keep doing just to keep your chops up.
You're good, JT. You really are. A lot of people in your position wouldn't do that. The best music you've heard in 2022 didn't have to come out in 2022. I know you're very into classical, but anything else you want to
Well,
recommend?
let's have a look. I'm going to have to look in my Spotify,
Mm.
and I'm going to have to look at.
Your Wrapped Up must have been exciting. Your
What does that
Spotify
mean?
Wrap, it shows WRAP. It wraps up your year and tells you what you've listened to
I haven't
most.
seen it. Oh yeah. All right. I mean, I still listen. I mean, I still listen to a lot of old school soul and funk and when I want to get myself in the mood, that's what I tend to listen to. I hear a lot of cool songs in TV,
Me too. Yeah.
a show like Euphoria, has just the most extraordinary soundtrack, and you just hear just like these amazing shifts of. You'll hear In Excess, and then you'll hear, some bizarre like soul ballad, and then you'll hear some Ennio Morricone piece from some 60s Western, and they really, I find myself like quite often actually when I'm watching some show, I'll Google the, I'll get the playlist, and I think that, the best music producers, working on shows are just like the most fantastic curators. They have the most incredible knowledge. I mean, I'm looking, I mean, if I was to look through my downloaded albums in Spotify for something recent, I mean, I downloaded that Bruce Springsteen album, the band called Butcher Brown. But I
Did you
haven't
like Bruce's
listened.
record?
I liked his choices. Yeah, I did like his choices. I did like his. I was surprised actually how many of his songs, how many of the songs on that I already liked.
I haven't listened. I have it, but I haven't listened yet. There's a band called Butcher Brown. I didn't know. Do you listen to Simon's show Whoosh? Because he has so much new music on. No, really. It
Yeah,
helps
no,
me.
I know. I know it's amazing that he's I'm really proud of you guys actually for keeping that going. I mean, I don't know. I guess we all listen to music for different reasons. I went through I went through a period of just like so much new music. I'd be going at this time of year, I'd be buying all the Rough Trade albums of the year, and I don't know, I just haven't been inspired to spend a lot of time with new music. I thought Kendrick Lamar was amazing on Saturday Night Live. I thought that was like one of the best like music, TV music things, and I did quite like his album actually. I think it gets harder every year really because there's just so much incredible music. Oh my God, I watched The Beatles Get Back. I was absolutely determined not to watch it. I'm like, I've spent enough time in the company of the Beatles. I don't need to go back over any of that again. And again, I started watching it while I was practicing. And oh my God, I just loved it. I mean, it was surprisingly like a Duran Duran session, actually. I mean, it really, really surprised me how much like I have spent so many hours in situations like that with a different cast of characters. I mean, we have a slightly different process, but the principle, the sort of collaborative compromise, the sensitivity to others, the, you know, was just like, oh my God. I absolutely loved it though. I did. And, you know, and as a result, I mean, I went back to the Beatles, which is just somewhere I just can't get away from. And why would I want to get away from it?
I agree. I agree 100%. I didn't finish watching it like I don't finish watching pretty much anything. But I think I was surprised at their collaboration. It seemed to me very modern. So when you say it reminds you so much of Duran Duran, of course, you're coming from a perspective that maybe 1% of the world could share in that perspective, as a rock, a music maker themselves. I don't know what I had in my mind and what the Beatles would be like in the studio, but it wasn't that. So
I don't think I think they were kind of getting to the end of, because they're kind of getting to the end of the road. And I think it was a lot. I mean, I don't think there were all that many sessions up to that point that were like that. You know, I think maybe, there was just like a general kind of, there was a, you know, what's the word? You know, they'd kind of settled into a, they were kind of a little bored with it. You know, I think three of them anyway were kind of bored with it. And they weren't all that, they weren't all that bothered. They were all ready to move on, really.
Did you see any of yourself in Paul McCartney?
I mean, not, I mean.
I did. That love, yeah, that love for what you do and that belief that you're better together than apart.
I mean, he is fascinating, you know, because, you know, he really is, because he's, on the one hand, and I noticed this, you know, on the one hand, he does something, he'll sit down at the piano and just sing something that just takes your breath away. And then 10 minutes later, he'll do something that is just the most banal piece of crap you've ever heard in your life. And I was actually reading about Maxwell's Silver Hammer, because if you listen to Abbey Road, which was the album that they would go on to make right after finishing that documentary, starts with Come Together, which is like one of the greatest songs of the era, you know, maybe definitely top five. Into Something, ditto.
Yeah.
I think Maxwell's Silver Hammer is third. And it's like you have two of the greatest songs ever written and then perhaps the most stupid Beatles song of all time. And I was actually reading that if anything broke the Beatles up, it was Maxwell's Silver Hammer, because the rest of the band just thought it was such a load of absolute crap. They just couldn't believe that Paul believed in it. You know, but that was Paul. He was, you know, he's really quite an enigma, I think. You know, he really is. He's really hard to get a beat on.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a lot of himself away, actually.
Yeah. I agree. But
what a bass player. Oh my God. That was what I took away. I mean, I knew he was, you know, obviously he's one of the most important bass players of all time. But in all that documentary, I mean, what was it like? Four times, I mean, how many hours? 12 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
He didn't miss a beat. Every time he played the bass, it was absolutely in the groove. It was way more interesting than it needed to be. I mean, it was, you know, bass playing is just phenomenal. Yeah. And John, what a phenomenal guitar player. And it's actually one of the fun things that happened this year, Julian Lennon came to the Where did I see him?
The bowl.
Well, he came to the bowl, but actually I saw him at our after party.
Yeah.
After the Hall of Fame. And I said, oh man, I've just been watching Get Back. And I can't believe what an incredible guitar player your dad was. It's like, I know. Neither did I. I mean, he had exactly the same experience from watching the film. I mean, not that he's not like Jimi Hendrix, but everything he plays is, he's like the greatest punk rock guitar player ever.
That's so
He's
funny.
really, really amazing. I mean, I could have done without all the, you know, constant like cover songs and old songs, but I guess that's what they needed to do to keep them. John particularly needed to do to keep himself in the mood. Anyway, it is. It's just amazing. And I'm so grateful it got made.
Now I'm going to go back to it. This is a tough one. What was your favorite Duran Duran moment of 2022? What a load of things to choose from this year.
Yeah, I mean, there were some
doozies.
There were some big ones. I think that the Rock in Rio in Lisbon was pretty big. I think that, you know, Hyde Park, obviously. I mean, Hyde Park really felt like a homecoming. Although, strangely enough, so did Lytham, St. Anne's, which was a festival that we played up on the western coast here, just north of Liverpool.
Yeah.
And that was a really bizarre show. Poured down rain, just poured, freezing cold. But I thought everybody in the crowd had been to the Rum Runner. It felt like everybody had been following the band since the early 80s. And it just felt like a family reunion. That was kind of amazing. Madison Square Gardens, I mean, I felt like, I mean, you know, I've always been driven to play the gardens since I was a teenager. And actually, we played there a few times, and I thought that was the best one we've ever done. Yeah, the Hall of Fame was great. Amazing. You know, it was just great to be a part of something that there was I mean, it was so broad, wasn't it? To go from Dolly Parton to Eminem to Duran to, you know, to Carly Simon, you know, to just Judas Priest. You know, it was like you really felt, it was quite humbling in a way, because you're just part of music, you know.
Yeah, yeah. There's no niche there.
No, it was amazing, you know.
Did you watch it on TV?
No.
Oh.
No, I don't watch her. I don't like watching myself on TV.
Well, just the whole program.
I'm too busy watching. I'm too busy watching episodic TV series. No, I don't. I don't ever like. It makes me second guess myself, you know. And I mean, I don't know. I'm just always living in the future, really. I'm not in that sense of like, well, whatever I did that night, you know, I'll try and do better next time.
What would you say your best moment at the Rock Hall induction was? Like watching the whole thing, like was there a speech or a performance or just anything that stood out to you in particular?
Funny enough, I really liked Lionel Richie.
Oh yeah.
I thought he I thought when he took the stage and he sat down, I mean, he sang a song which is definitely not one of my favorite songs, but he had so much presence and poise, and I just thought it was a masterclass in how to be a soul singer. And then I thought his speech was just amazing. It just was so from the heart, and it felt, you know, entirely authentic and really smart. I don't know whether he had notes, but, you know, it didn't seem like he did. You know, listen, he's a guy that's used to getting awards and speaking in public, but I thought, you know, I mean, certainly somebody that I hadn't expected to be impressed by, that I really was impressed by.
I mean, exactly. Like when the class was announced and he was in it, I was like, oh, real Lionel? And then like, I got it, you know, when I was there, he really sold it to me. Like, yeah, you do deserve to be up there. You're pretty cool. It was very cool. Well, we're going to end this year-end cafe by asking you what you're most looking forward to in 2023. What do you think?
I mean, I'm still just trying to climb down off the, you know, I mean, it's been, this year has just been so extraordinary. You know, I'm still trying to just like relax. I'm looking forward to the tours. I'm looking forward to, you know, going around the UK. I'm looking forward to coming back to the US. I'm looking forward to going back to cities in the US. I mean, the US tour was amazing, man. I mean, you know, I just, you know, it's funny. I love America. Like I love, you know, the UK, you know, and it's just like I love, you know, I love going to Liverpool and Manchester and Glasgow and Belfast. I'm not saying we are going to all of those places, but I've never gotten tired of going to those places, you know, and just like, and over there, I just love going to Chicago and Atlanta and Detroit and Boston, and I never tire of it. So, you know, I don't know for sure where we are going, but we're going to be going to a lot of, you know, cities that we didn't go to last year. And, you know, I think just hoping we can build on what we achieved this year, really. You know, I love the deluxe vinyl version of Future Past. I mean, anybody that doesn't have it, definitely worth having in the collection. It's great. It's great. The spirit in the band is as good as it's been in years.
Mm.
And, you know, and I think everybody, I think, you know, we all had, everybody stepped up this year, you know, and it's good to be, you know, we challenged ourselves. We met the challenges. You know, the key to this band's survival and growth is our sort of, you know, the way that we, you know, the way that we keep trying, we keep growing, you know, we keep trying to learn new things. It's not, you know, even though the, you know, like as I talk about touring, I realize, but yeah, but you've been touring. How many times have you been to Chicago? How many times, you know, and yet there's something about it, particularly at the moment with this band, that like, I feel like we're growing. You know, I feel like this show is growing. I think some of the shows we did on this tour were the best we've ever done. And, you know, that's how it should be. I'm so grateful that we've had Niall and Sheik on the road with us this year. I mean, they just take the show to the next level. You know, it really enables us to, you know, it's a 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
You know, and I think also, like, it was like, you know, because the audience, we'd all been through COVID, you know, everybody had been through whatever they'd been through. You know, and there was just, you must have noticed it. I mean, there was something different in the water. It was like there was a new spice that had been added to the recipe that just gave it just a little bit more, you know, I don't know, maybe it was gratitude. You know, there was just everybody that was there, including us, you know, it just felt special, you know.
There was a joy and a gratitude, yeah. I think. And a gratitude.
I hope we can keep that.
Yeah, I'm excited for you guys. I can't speak to the UK because I'm not from the UK, but I know that there were a lot of pockets in the US that you didn't hit, like Florida and Boston, and I guess I'm not good at geography, Georgia, Atlanta. Yeah, and yeah. And I think people just want to be happy. You know, they stayed inside for 2 years. They want to get out. They want to, music is the great equalizer, man. Brings everybody together under, you know. What are, I know that you in particular have a lot of gratitude with what you get to do with your life, how you make your living. And you can see it on your face in every show that you do. I mean, you're just, you're as happy to be there as they are. And it's really nice. It's really nice.
True that.
Well, thank you so much for coming into the cafe. I think you're always our double. So poor JT will be back in the cafe in January. Maybe we'll go through, you know, it would be fun. We'll go through all the vinyl releases, you guys. You had so much vinyl at the end of this year. I think on the 9th, which is tomorrow, the Astronaut Red Carpet Massacre and All You Need Is Now is dropping. The colored vinyl and the black vinyl. Yay. Lots to talk about.
That's great.
So have a wonderful holiday with your family, JT.
You too.
And we'll see you back in the cafe soon.
Great. Thanks, everyone. Bye.